giving me my medicine, and I dutifully took it. And there was one point in time where the medicine sort of wore off, and I looked around, and I had felt like I was shackled to this chair, and I was being drugged to a place of complacency. But then I looked, and there was a door that was open, and I knew that I was faced with a choice to either continue to take what had been fed to me to keep me chained to that chair, or to just walk out. There was nobody standing in my way. The chains that had been shackled to me once were gone, and yet I was still sitting there taking what had been fed to me. So God brought that up again, and if there's somebody here as we're praying about breaking chains, there are some that have yet to be broken. There is still like a battle for the kingdom of God. But if you have said yes to Jesus, your chains have been broken. They have been broken, and you are given permission and freedom and called to walk in that and to no longer stay shackled. All right. So, Pastor Dave asked me to give a testimony last week. I sort of by the seat of my pants got to share a little bit about Rahema Home, and I'm so excited to be planted in this body. I have said it so many times this week to people, like, I live with a body of believers who are so generous. So often we'll send maybe $40 or $80 from Missions March, but I wrote a check for over $1,500 this week to send to Rahema. Yeah, and there's at least another 250 that like checks that were written directly to them. So this is just a huge blessing. I got to call Kara this week, and not only was it a personal blessing and encouragement, but without knowing or expecting it at all, they were trying to figure out how are we going to pay our Kenyan staff, because this is not just Westerners going and trying to change the lives of Kenyans. It is they're working with them, and so they're able to pay the people who the wages, like their due labor, and it's just an encouragement. So thank you. I'm so glad I am in this church body. It's really fantastic. And then a few announcements. So tonight there is a community prayer meeting here. This culminates a 10 days of prayer that has been happening all over our region. But the meeting is here, and it's Pentecost Sunday, and there are a lot of people coming ready to expect really great things from the Lord. So please be here, 6 o'clock tonight. We get to host, so come with your like hospitality hat on, you know, love people a little bit extra. Men's Bible study meets Monday from 6 to 8 here at the church. There is a regular Wednesday evening prayer meeting at 7 p.m. You are encouraged to come and connect and worship and pray and see what God does. Today is the last day to nominate any trustees for the church board. We have an opening coming up. So if you are a member and think, wow, that might fit with my gifting, today is a really great day to sort of act on that, either by talking to Pastor Dave, or it's kind of odd to self-nominate, right? But I guess if you feel compelled, like God is calling me to this, just take a step. Or if you know somebody who is a member in the church, please do that. Please nominate them as well. Asking them first is a great idea. There is an annual church report that we will, in 2 weeks from today, there will be an annual business meeting where we'll vote on a trustee, but we will also kind of review what 2020 was like, which doesn't sound like fun, except when you get to see that like God was not alarmed by anything that happened in 2020, you know? So we get to rejoice in the things that he has done. Yes, because God is always good. Good. Whoa, you know? And the following Sunday, we got lots of stuff coming up on June 13th. The ordination and installation service that Pastor Dave, we had to reschedule for Pastor Dave, will be held on the 13th at 3 p.m. And we have some fun decorating and food prep. So if you really like to be part of the fun, come talk to me, because we're making plans. So Lene Loring is not here today, yet we get to share that she has a new first official grandbaby. Yay, baby boy. So Shelly had her baby born this week. Baby's healthy. His name is Grayson. Is that what we learned this morning? Grayson. Everybody already knows Facebook, you know. Church announcements come after your announcements on Facebook. And then don't forget to sign up for Saturate Wellsville. The packets have been put together, And if you're alarmed by having to go door to door, I'm pretty sure none of us are being sent in alone, so we can be alarmed together and still do it. Do it scared, you know, and it'd be okay. So sign up, please, on the back table. That's pretty much where everything is. Trustee nominations, annual business meeting packets, read those over. All the good stuff is on that table. Yeah, is that all? That's it.
That's it.
All right.
Amen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Oh. Can I encourage you to come tonight to this prayer meeting? There's something really special about coming together as the body of Christ, and we have that opportunity to do that here and host it tonight. Our church is kind of the point people for that. My wife and I will be leading worship tonight, and we're just believing God for the fire of Pentecost to fall. God could do it. God can do it. My wife just, Sister Carol. I was about to she's gone again. Children's church kids, you are invited to go through fifth grade, and you have a really fun lesson because Sister Carol lives with me. I know the exciting thing that you're going to do today. And I was really jealous. The last time she did that, she had something really cool. I promised I wouldn't tell. I can't reveal. Ooh, I want to, though. Once they're out of the room. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray over our kids in that ministry. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray as these children go, Lord, they are precious in your sight. And God, you welcomed children. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, we've come, we want to hear your word, but God, I pray that you would fall on that little meeting today with those children. God, that you would anoint that lesson, that you would bless those kids, and that seeds would be planted in their hearts that will stick in there for the rest of their lives, Lord. Sow into them, Father, and bless them, I pray. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. It's Pentecost Sunday, and how my wife ever figured it out. Are they gone? How she ever figured it out. She figured out how to put flames of fire on their heads. I don't know. If I was a little kid, I would never forget that again. Never. Oh, glory to God. So, God is good. He really is. And, you know, you get to have a portion of that lovely, precious work to those children in Kenya that you sowed into last week. We get to be co-laborers. You know, when you send your money there, you know, it's not like you're just sending your money. We're sowing into that field, and that's a precious opportunity, and we get to reap a harvest with them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hope you've been praying this last 10 days. And thereon in, you know, we set the community of churches set this 10 days aside to pray. But we hope, what we really hope is that it's an inspiration to you to continue to pray and believe. Oh God, I can't do this, Lord. I got up this morning and I started to work on my message and I just started crying and I couldn't stop. And I cried and I cried and I said, God, I have to get my message ready. And I went and I sat at my computer to do my PowerPoint and I'm just crying and crying. And I see in my heart our area and the burden that God has. And it just felt like somebody punched me in the stomach is all I can say. And when I think of it, how God wants to move and his desire. Oh, God, Father, move in our area. God, I can't get it off my heart. Lord, it just falls on me again. Father, how we ask that you would touch and move in our area. Oh, Jesus, move in our area, Lord. God, reach people in Jesus' name. God, we pray for a mighty move of your Spirit. Oh, God, that people would come to their senses like the prodigal, that they would awake from their deception. God, that they would be set free. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, do it, Lord. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, do it, we pray. Oh, I prayed. I asked the Lord. I said, God, please don't make me cry all through this message today. God, no. I never used to be a crier, and now I'm a crier. God, it makes me uncomfortable. Stop. And he doesn't. He doesn't stop. Ah, glory to God. We're in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And the first week we compared the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. And then we've talked about love, what love really means, what it is, joy and peace. And this week I am so thrilled to bring you the most exciting fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. Yes. And everybody is so happy to come to church today to hear about long suffering. And you'll notice the picture. Those are fall leaves. I looked at that picture and I thought, oh God, sometimes I feel like in my long suffering, I'm just standing there until all my leaves fall off. Like I'm standing there naked. My tree is empty. But God calls us to long suffering. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, lots of your Bibles may say patience. And that word patience can just as easily be rendered long-suffering. And I really think in our English language that patience seems to make more sense to us, but long-suffering is really a better translation. It's the Greek, makrothomeia. But it's actually two Greek words. It's from the Greek word makros and thymos. Makros means long, and thymos means passion or anger. So it literally means long to become angry or long to become stirred up. Or more literally, waiting sufficient time before becoming angry, or long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered. Long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered. And if you look at our society and our technological development, we've gone from walking to riding a horse, to riding a horse-drawn carriage, to an automobile, to a train, to an airplane, and it's all kind of a testimonial to our inner desire for speed and our growing impatience in our society. If you don't think our society is impatient, the next time you're at a red light and it turns green, just kind of linger there for a minute and see what happens. You don't think people are impatient? Oh, God help us. Incredible impatience. We live in the instant society. And, you know, long-suffering is really in short supply when I get upset because the page on my phone takes 5 seconds to load instead of 3 seconds. Hurry up and load. I actually find myself doing that. It's going slow. You know, I had to wait 6 seconds. You know, and people will pay the extra $25 so that they can get the package so that it'll actually load in 4 seconds instead of 6. But, oh God, help us. So let's look at a few scriptures I want to look at a few other things. Long-suffering long. Sometimes it looks like this, or it can feel like this, like it's right up to our neck. God, how long do I have to wait? Thank God it's not over his head, but you feel like that. And then there's always this, go ahead, Adam, long-suffering. Wait, can I exchange that? Is it too late? Do I have a gift receipt? You'll notice they called it a gift. It's really a fruit, but I liked the picture. I liked the idea of the picture. Wait, God, can I have joy, please? I want to have peace. Give me love, not long suffering. So, but long suffering is a fruit that grows and develops out of us. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And you know, if you live around people for very long, you are gonna have to bear with them. Somebody's gonna annoy you. Unless you're not like me. Somebody is gonna do something to annoy you, and you're gonna have to bear with them in love. Suffer long with them. And that calls for a selfless kind of giving. Colossians 3:12 and 13. Long suffering or patience. Bear with one another. Well, let's say, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. So there's the other component of long suffering that we didn't see in the first one. Forgiving one another. Oh God, help us. Long suffering. What is long suffering? This is kind of the best definition that I could come up with. Go ahead, Adam. Godly patience and mercy we show to others that mirrors as closely as possible the patience and mercy God shows us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Godly patience and mercy we show to others that mirrors as closely as possible the patience and mercy that God shows us. Then another facet of that, go ahead, Adam. When we bear with one another, put up with their mistakes and inconsiderate actions, and truly forgive them for real or imagined offenses. Do you know we have to guard our hearts against real offenses and imagined offenses? It's true. Do you know I will find myself sometimes imagining, thinking, completely misreading something and finding myself offended. Ooh, forgive it in the real, forgive it in the imagined. And then the next, it is, go ahead, Adam. It is enduring trials and waiting patiently and faithfully for God's intervention. Because we know it's coming. We just don't know when. That's the long-suffering part, darn it. When is it going to really come, God? So we have godly patience and mercy we show to others. We, to encapsulate that, we bear forgiveness to others, and we endure until God intervenes. And I can't think of a better definition than that. Now, I want to give you a chance to take your own long-suffering temperature. I have a little pop quiz for you. I'm a teacher, you know, so I do that. So it's a simple two-question test, and you can see how you do. I'm embarrassed to say that on any given day I might fail this test, and on some days I might pass it. Depends on, I hate to say, what's happening. Question number one. Someone speeds past you in a no-passing zone and cuts you off abruptly on the highway. Do you A, beep your horn incessantly and yell in your best or not best Christianese at them? Do you B, begin to pray fervently, that a police car will appear and give them a ticket the size of Texas. Or C, begin to pray for them that God would both convict and protect them. And sometimes when I pray, I'm a little heavy on the conviction and protect them. My wife confessed, she said she was B, pray that a police car will show up. Uh-oh. Number two, you are hard at work on a document on your computer. Suddenly the power goes out. When it comes back on, your document is gone. Do you, A, attempt to fix your computer with a hammer or other such unsuitable tool? Do you, B, quit your job and apply to bag groceries at Tops? I've actually thought about that once or twice in school. Or C, thank God that you are still alive and begin again. You can always thank God that you're still alive and you can just start over. Thank God. How'd you do on your little test? I've discovered that God helped me. Some days I pass my tests really well, and then other days I don't do so good, and I need God's grace on those days. Do you find yourself in that same walk of sanctification that I wish I was a little more consistent? Oh, but one good thing about God is that God does not expect or ask us to do something that he has not demonstrated himself. Do you know that God is so faithful to demonstrate to us the very things that he wants to see developed in us? So we have God's example of long-suffering. And I'd like to look at that briefly for a minute. God's example of long-suffering. Number one, God does it. He wants us to be like him. And God cares for all humanity, and he does it with tremendous compassion, mercy, and long-suffering. And God help us. How much mercy and long-suffering has God extended to our country? May God help us when I think of the tide of blood that the abortion toll has taken. What kind of mercy has God extended to us? Oh, dear, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine why the judgment of God has not come on our land just for that sin alone. But God is merciful to humanity, tremendous in his compassion and mercy and long suffering. Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is abundant redemption. Praise his name for that. 2 Peter 3, 9, shows the reason for God's long-suffering. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you hear the cry of God's heart in that verse? Why is it that God, he says he's not slack concerning what he said he's going to do, but he's long-suffering because he wants people to come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish. His heart's cry is for the world to turn and come back to him. Glory to God. However, that brings us to number two. Oh, well, there's one more scripture. I thought I was done. I'm not. Romans 2, 3, and 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? His goodness and long-suffering is designed to bring you to repent, which is the most tremendous blessing. Wouldn't it be horrible if God just saved us and left us in our sin? His idea is to save us and change us, turn us so that we're not bound by that sin, so that we don't have to do that sin anymore. It doesn't have to rule over our lives anymore. We can have freedom in Christ. And that is God's heart of long-suffering. However, that does bring us to now to the second point, and that is God's long-suffering does not mean eternal tolerance. It does not mean eternal tolerance. And that, my friends, is why we're going out to the streets with this Jesus DVD. And let me just say, please avail yourself. Let us know who you are that want to do that. We do need your name on those lists. People have, in other churches have already been going out and passing these DVDs out. And hundreds of them have gone out all over our county already. And only one person I heard refused that DVD. Only one. I heard one, and there was a possibility of a second. Out of all of those hundreds, people are interested, and we're believing God to do a mighty work. But the reason we're doing that is because there is a time where the long suffering and tolerance of God comes to an end. It's not an eternal tolerance. The day of reckoning came in Noah's day, and judgment finally fell. It was a long time in coming. It took a long time for Noah to build that boat. And God, in his knowledge, gave those people. I think there was room on the ark. I think there were empty spaces on the ark. I don't think it was full to the rafters. God is patiently waiting, but Jesus will return one day, and the end and beginning of all things will be played out. Or one day everybody's going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So one way or another, it's going to come. But God is calling us to live a life of long-suffering and patience like him, but knowing, go ahead, Adam, knowing that God is long-suffering, he has patience, but there is a time where that patience runs out. And in our hearts, we have to say, God, help us to reach as many people as we can while we have time. God, help us to reach as many people as we can while we have time. That's the heart of God. That's why he's waiting. And God, may we cooperate with him in that. So how does God develop long-suffering in us? How does he do it? Well, let's look at that. How does God do it? Number one, God uses problems. God uses problems to develop patience in you. Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know the suffering produces perseverance. That word perseverance is a really fun word in the Greek. It's hupomone. I kind of like to say it, hupomone, hupomone. Say that five times fast. But it's really cool. It means simply to remain under. That's basically the meaning of it, to remain under, or to wait patiently for, to stay, in other words, stay down. Stay there, wait, don't react, don't blow up. God will use problems, can use problems to come and work that in us. And trials and problems are not meant to defeat you. They're not meant to discourage you. They're not meant to depress you. They are meant to develop you. And as we walk through them and as we believe God, it produces something in us. Then we can be patient because we know that God is always faithful. We know that he is always faithful. He's always going to do it. James 1, 2, and 3, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. Hallelujah, praise God, I have problems. Wow, I'm so glad I have problems. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its work so you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So God wants you to be mature and complete and lacking nothing. So guess what you're going to have? I thought it was very interesting, the process that God works problems in our lives. Do you know, it says that Jesus told the parable of the man that comes to the unfruitful tree, and he looks at it and he says, "Oh, cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground?" And the other man says, "Well, let me tend it and take care of it and fertilize it and wait another year and see if it's going to produce some fruit. Let's see what happens. And then if it doesn't, you can cut it down." So there's another extension of long suffering, but notice that there was a little extra season of fertilizing. So I want to say to you, if you want to be mature and complete, you should know that manure is coming your way. It's going to come. And you will be blessed by the manure. It sounds terrible, but it's true. And those problems can make you better or bitter. When I'm at school, I've never had a year like this where I have to wash everything in between every class, and I have to wear this mask whether I think it's necessary or not. I mean, I want to have a job, so the mask is on my face, and I'm running like a crazy person washing 18 or 20 chairs in between each class with no time in between. One class goes out, the next class comes in, there's no 3-minute period in the hall, they just show up, there they are. And so as I'm washing those seats, every time I do it, and I wash those rhythm sticks and those drums and the tambourines and the cards and all the stuff they use in between every class, I have a choice to make. I can become really annoyed and angry. I can complain about the administration and about our governor and about all, or I can just say, "Lord Jesus, thank you that I get to serve these kids." And I like to say that most of the time, I'm there. But God puts those problems in our way to develop His grace in our hearts. Number two, God uses, go ahead, Adam, not only problems, but God uses people. Oh, Ephesians 4:2, remember patience, bearing with one another? I have a school story to tell you. It wasn't me, but there was a first grade teacher and had a really big class. I think had, 30 kids, 30 first graders. And it was a rainy day. It had rained all day. The kids are sitting inside looking at the raindrops. They didn't get to go outside for recess. And then finally it's the end of the day, and this poor teacher has got 30 pairs of boots to put on these little kids, get their little rain jackets on them. And so she's dressing all these little kids and putting their boots on them. And then she finally comes to the last pair of boots. Oh, thank goodness, the last pair, and I get to send these kids to the bus. Well, the last kid is sitting there, and she's trying to get these boots on. And for some reason, these boots are just so tight. She can't get them on. Working, forcing, trying to get the boot on the kid's foot, and stand up, push your heel down, and trying to get it on. And finally, after struggle and strain, the foot goes in, and then they've got the other boot, and it's the same thing. It doesn't want to go, push and get on and haul it up. And finally, the teacher got both those boots on, and the kid said, "Teacher, these aren't my boots." And the teacher said, sits the kid down. The kid's hanging onto the chair for dear life as the teacher's trying to pull the boot back off of the foot, and finally hauls the one off, and then finally scraps and hauls the other one off. And the kid said, "They're my sister's boots. She lets me wear them." I'm guessing that maybe that teacher developed, I hope she developed a little patience at that point. But God will use people in your life to develop things. But your choice, you get to choose whether you're going to become bitter or better. I know a man who, I, There's a man who visited a church, knew the pastor of the church, and he came, and the pastor was describing what they had done in the ministry there, and was taking him around. They had an emphasis on body ministry and the priesthood of believers and encouraging people in the body to take on ministry. And so their church had really grown. It wasn't just pastor-centric where the pastor did everything. And so he took the guy around and said, okay, this is the people who run our small group ministry, and this is the people who do our worship, and this is the fellowship people. And so he took him around and was introducing him to everyone. And then in the back, there were these two profoundly mentally disabled people, mentally retarded people. And the guy was there, and he looked at the pastor, and he said, well, what about them? What part do they play in the body? And the pastor said, oh, they're the kidneys. What do the kidneys do in the body? The kidneys filter all the junk out. And he said, people get to spend time with these guys here, and God does a work in their hearts and in their lives. God can use people to pull the stuff out of you and develop patience in you. He'll put you in places with people who may drive you crazy. I have a few people in my life, not a lot, but I have a couple people that I deal with, and they can just drive me crazy. But God uses them. God uses them to speak to me, to give me grace, and to help me to walk uprightly. And, oh, glory to God, we need people in our lives to be the kidneys. We really do, to help bring that stuff up and out of us. Glory, glory, glory to God. And without it, we're not going to become mature. We're not going to walk in everything that God has for us. I want to say to you, there is a call in the Spirit of God that I hear. And I hope it bears witness to you, but there is a call of the Spirit of God for our church and for this region to prepare for growth. There is a call. It's almost like a clarion call. It's building. I hear it in the Spirit. There is a call for the churches in this region to prepare for growth. In our church, in the churches of the region, but growth is going to call for long suffering, because we have to be able to love whoever comes through those doors. And when we pray and God begins to bring people in, you don't know who he's going to bring in. God may move and bring in the very people that you hoped would never come to the church. Oh, dear God, they're here. And you know what? God may call you to be the one to minister to them. If we're hearing the clarion call for growth, then we have to be prepared to be those long-suffering people. People who are willing to show and extend the grace and mercy of God to people. Love people who come through there, the pleasant and the unpleasant. James, the book of James in chapter 2 talks about the not showing partiality to the person who shows up who's well-dressed, and then taking the poor, dirty, smelly guy and making him sit on the floor over somewhere, but regarding them and extending yourself to them the same. So to grow and to experience growth in both the Spirit and in numbers, which we kind of hope we get both, we would kind of hope so, we are going to have long-suffering and patience. And can I say, leave behind the comfort and familiarity of the identity of a small church. I don't say that in any way critically, but there is a comfort and a sense of familiarity. This is my church. I like my church. This is the way our church does things. And then all of a sudden, suddenly people are coming in, and it ain't like it used to be anymore. Pastor Tom told the story about the day, was it Pastor Tom, when the strippers came walking into church? I can't tell that story. I wish I could. If we had time, I'd have you get up. But apparently these ladies of the evening came parading under conviction into church. Did you say that they were so glad when they came up and had prayer and were slain in the spirit and they could throw cloths over them? Oh, but who knows what God is going to do? Who knows who God is going to bring in? What if God begins to move in the gay community in Wellsville? And they start,
yes.
And they start to come in. Are we gonna welcome them? Are we gonna love them? Are we gonna?
Yes.
Now we don't have to love their lifestyle, but we can love them. We don't have to condone their lifestyle, but can we give our hearts and ourselves to loving them? I'd be thrilled if some of the gangs. Gang kids and the drug addicts came walking into our church. Glory to God. Bring them, Lord. It would be heaven on earth. God, help us to be ready, though. If we're not ready and those people come and we're not ready to give of ourselves, well, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready. God, help us. But that's the point where God wants to take us outside of our comfort zone and begin, bring us to the place where we give ourselves to other people. Where we give ourselves. I mean, really give yourself. And the ultimate in long suffering is loving without expecting any reciprocity. In other words, you don't expect to get something back. And, you know, I have found in myself an arrogance and an annoyance when I do something for someone. You know, when I extend myself to somebody, I'm kind to somebody, and they just take it and off they go. There's no thank you, there's no acknowledgement, there's no nothing. And inside of me, something wants to say, see if I do that again. Dear God. You know, I have this at school. I have kids who will literally, they don't know how to tie. And so they're walking around with laces flopping everywhere. And they try to tie, and they pull their shoes into knots. So they got, and knot their shoes all up. And I'll see these kids. I write, all right, come here. And I'm sitting there trying to take the knots out. And the rest of the line is there. And the teacher wants to go with the kids. And all right, keep your foot down on the floor. Put your foot down. And you finally tie it up, and then the kid runs off. And I've heard myself in the distance say, you're welcome. And, you know, we try to teach kids to be thankful. You know, somebody filled in the blank before I got it. Was that you? And, yeah, we try to teach them to be thankful. So there's that component. But do you ever have that in your heart where you just, well, they ought to say thank you. Look what I did for them. And God says, if you're going to love them, you have to love them without any expectation for anything back. Luke 6:33-36. Go ahead, Adam. I think that's next. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. He is kind to wicked people. Oh, yikes. Now, I do want to add just a little balance to this message, and I hope you understand. This is not talking about abusive relationships. This is not talking about abusive relationships. You know, I'm always blindsided because I don't expect people to be abusive. I don't expect it. So when it happens, I'm like, what just happened? But there are some people who will be willingly and willfully abusive, toxic people. And I'm surprised. I don't expect it. It is not wrong with such people, then, to set up appropriate boundaries. That is not loving them. It is appropriate to set up appropriate boundaries where you say, this far and no more. And I want to tell you, you know, some people will sometimes be abusive, unkind, they may attack, and usually it comes with it that element of control. Sometimes people will manifest a spirit of domination or control, and some people actually manifest this parasitic kind of personality that just tries to leech the life out of you. I've experienced it. I know some of you have experienced that dealing with people as well. But I want to tell you, it is a show of mercy and long-suffering when you set appropriate boundaries for people. We do them no favors when we let them come in and take advantage of us or abuse us. We're not doing a favor to them. What we're doing is we're showing the love of God and we're showing the mercy of God and His long-suffering when we set up appropriate boundaries. That is long-suffering. That is grace. That's saying, I can relate to you, but you cannot bring your stuff to my side of the bridge. Keep it over there. You come talk to me, maybe. Leave your junk over there. That's how God works with us. He wants us to repent, to turn. And so in our relationships, it's not wrong to set up godly boundaries. Be kind, be polite, but no farther than that. And there are just some people that I can't spend time with. I was talking with somebody this week. We had that discussion that just, I cannot spend time with that person. Pray for them, be polite to them, but I can't do it. God knows. You do what you can. You extend yourself as far as you ought. You love people, but there is also a time where we have to say no. So anyway, for a church to grow, there needs to be the willingness to change and the fruit of long-suffering. Are we willing to change and let anybody come that needs to come? And are we willing to bear that fruit of long-suffering? Billy Graham Crusades, they would always finish their crusades singing that song, Just As I Am, and those people would come running down. And that's how people come. All these people would come to the altar for salvation, and that's how they come. As they are, with all their needs, with all their baggage, and I hope that I'm willing, I hope we're willing, to leave our area and be willing to be a mother or a father to people that come and walk with them in the things that are hard for them. I had people when I was a young Christian that came alongside me and walked with me, invited me to their home, prayed for me, encouraged me. If I didn't have those people, I wouldn't be here today. May we be those people so that they can get a bite of our fruit of long suffering. And some people had to put up with some stuff with me. They really did. And patience is required as people learn and are taught the things of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray today that you would help us, Lord, as we look to you, Father. And God, our hearts just cry out that we would be prepared to receive people, Lord, as we pray and as you begin to move, God, that our hearts would be in the place where we would say, yes, Lord, we will give up our lives for other people, just as Jesus gave up his life for us, that we would be willing to give up our lives and be long-suffering. Father, we know that life that we put up on the altar is a living sacrifice. And God, when we suffer long, we are that living sacrifice. Help us, God. Help us in our own personal lives to be long-suffering. Help us to be long-suffering as we are around other people. And God, give us the grace to have a mentoring, pastoral, fatherly, motherly heart to people who need us in the Spirit. And God, we pray that you would give us grace to love whoever comes through those doors. And Father, we pray they come, but we also pray that you would send us. And God, that you would help us to reach our community and reach many souls for a harvest. Father, we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, it would be our honor to pray for you. Please, if you have a need, don't leave today without prayer. And physical, emotional, spiritual, we believe Jesus is the one that overcomes all of that. So if you're here for prayer, we invite you to come now. If not, God bless you. I hope you can return tonight for our prayer gathering. I believe that God is going to do a wonderful thing. I believe God's going to move. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.